to hear you breathe by my side.
Yeah, that's Dido there. And just thinking I'd like to watch you sleep at night brings me right up to Dracula. It's something I used to do like as well. And on the line I have Paul Murray, biographer of Bram Stoker. Well, more than watch you sleep, he'd wake you up with a jolt. Hello, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Noel. Very well indeed.
Okay, listen, great celebrations coming up about Bram Stoker, actually. But can I ask you how you got involved to the extent of the interest in Bram Stoker?
Sure. Well, I wrote a book about a man called Lafcaddy O'Hearn back in the 90s. And Hearn was a Dublin man, grew up here the same era as Stoker. Became a great interpreter of Japan, but was also a great horror writer. And after that book came out, I got a commission from Jonathan Cape to do a biography of Stoker, because it was felt at that time he was neglected and nobody had written a proper book about him. Everything was sort of what was called fangs a million. And so it was time to really show respect to a man who had written a book, you know, which is part of the global consciousness, but a man who was also important as an Irishman.
Mm-hmm. And in the research, did you come across any surprises yourself?
Yeah, I suppose the real surprise was Stoker himself, because I knew nothing about him starting out. I felt, as a lot of people probably still do, that he was just a popular writer who happened to write a novel that became famous. But actually I found that he's a very considerable, a very important figure. There's a lot of material out there. I sort of trawled all over the world. And I think by the end of it, you know, I understood how he had created Dracula, that the important thing was that Dracula came out of Stoker himself and not anything external.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing? I don't know if it's true, but is he celebrated more in other countries than he would be here at home in his hometown?
I think so. I think, you see, Stoker is part of a move, if you like, to take popular culture more seriously. And that really developed in the US back in the 70s. People like Christopher Frayling, who's involved in the conference tomorrow, in the UK also in the 70s. Ireland has probably been a bit behind the play on that one.
Mm-hmm. Because when you think about it, he was a great journalist as well. I mean, before the book as well, wasn't he? And he's written other books, which I'm just reading the ones, The Lair of the White Worm and The Snake's Pass, which I'm going to make it my business to get a hold of now.
Absolutely, no. He wrote 11 novels in all. He wrote a lot of non-fiction. And, I mean, he was a civil servant here in Dublin for 15 years before he went to London to work for the great actor Henry Irving. And his very first book was a manual for civil servants.
Maybe they should bring it back into four-inch.
absolutely, yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is that book is not completely irrelevant to Dracula, because if you look at Dracula, how is he captured and destroyed in the end? It's really done through gathering information and analysing it and working out what Dracula will do. And you know, that's the kind of thing that civil servants do.
Well, I suppose it could be facetious here and say, well, we're being bled pretty dry here in this country at the moment.
Well, I won't comment on that one, but there's certainly, you know, different kinds of vampires around the place.
Okay. But, no, it is, it's always been very sad, because anyone I've talked to over the years, I remember they had the museum down there in Clontarf, near Fairview, rather, where he was actually born, and it didn't stay open. I don't know whether it was a lack of interest or lack of funding. I don't know why, but you'd imagine that something like that would have sort of reinvigorated things over the years.
Yes, yeah, no, it was, that museum itself was really a fabulous place to visit. It was very well done. It's a great pity it didn't survive. I don't know the details of that, but I would hope that we can bring something back, if not in the same location, that we can develop something that will be devoted to Stoker and that will provide a focus for tourists and scholars and people who are interested. Because, you know, what we're finding now is, as more and more tourists come from the new emerging economies, they're much more conscious of Stoker through Dracula, mm-hmm, than they are of some of our traditional writers.
Mm-hmm. And is the house marked in any way? I don't know that now, for instance.
No, the house is still in private hands. I think the owners would be I think they would be willing to sell, and I think they'd like it to become a museum of some kind. But obviously, in the current climate, there's an issue of funding there. Mm-hmm.
It's a pity, isn't it, Reid, that this should be celebrated more. When you think about it, the other great writers that have come from Ireland who are talked about all the time, and he's overlooked.
Well, yeah, and if you think about it, you know, you think now of how prevalent vampirism is in the movies and television and so on, all of which really derives from Dracula. So you can say that Stoker created the best-known character, certainly in Irish literature, possibly even in world literature. I mean, you know, it's hard to think of anybody, of any character in fiction that's had more impact than Dracula.
Indeed. I think the only other one I can think of is Frankenstein, actually, in the movies. And even Dracula has been in more movies than Frankenstein.
I think Frankenstein is very secondary. Although, funnily enough, you know, Frankenstein and the vampire tradition, they come from the same place, you know, 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, too, is that I think you don't see so much of Frankenstein nowadays, where, you know, the Dracula vampire just goes from strength to strength.
Okay, and your book is on sale at the moment, I imagine.
It is. It's called From the Shadow of Dracula, A Life of Bram Stoker. It came out originally hardback 2004, paperback 2005. So it's probably still not in the shops, but you can get it on Amazon and places like that.
Mm-hmm. I know some of the things are taking place starting today, actually, at 7 o'clock in St. Patrick's Cathedral. We go through some of those before we talk some more.
Sure.
Wednesday, Lawrence Foster is reading from Dracula.
That's right. There should be a wonderful event at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Lawrence will be reading. There'll be organ music. It's free. Anybody can come. So, you know, come along to that one. Then tomorrow we start a conference at Trinity. It starts at 5:45. We have Roy Foster, the great historian, giving the keynote address. And it continues all day. The following day we have Christopher Frayling, the great cultural historian, and he's done so much to respectabilize popular literature, if you like. Mm-hmm. I'll be involved in one session in discussion with another biographer about the whole issue of Stoker biography. There were walking tours on with Pat Liddy on Friday and Saturday. Roy Foster is giving a talk on Stoker and Dracula at the Little Museum, 3:00 on Friday. There's a service of commemoration, St. Anne's, on Sunday, I think 11:15. And then on Monday, there's an event in the Pierce Street Library with Douglas Appleyard, a Dublin man who's a relative of Bram's, and Dacre Stoker, a Canadian descendant of one of his brothers. They'll be doing a seminar at the Pierce Street Library, 6:00 on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was just thinking there. I know it's a pretty scary book because I read it many, many years ago, and then I read it about 15 years ago. But I did read it when I was very young, and it was quite scary. And even though I've seen a few variations of movies, I always find the Hammer version with Christopher Lee the best of them all.
But I agree with you on that, by the way. Maybe partly because, you know, I was an adolescent in the early 60s when the Hammer movies, you know, were at their peak. And certainly they were fascinating for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, but they kept them simple to the extent, as far as the book went. I mean, they tried to be too clever with them later on. But would it be too scary for kids if it was on the curriculum in schools? Because, I mean, there's great writing in it and prose.
Oh, I think so. And, I think now kids are way beyond being scared, certainly by the time they're doing the leaving. it's a fabulous book, and it is a masterpiece. And yes, I think it could certainly be on the curriculum, maybe not in primary school, but certainly in secondary school, and definitely for leaving cert students. I mean, by contemporary standards, I mean, there's nothing there that I think you need to worry about.
And I'm sure your book is selling well in the time.
It's all very well. Yeah. I think, in fact, the paperback may be out of print at the moment, but it went well. I was lucky. I got a big publisher, Johnson Cape, as part of Random House. So it had good distribution, and they got me a lot of good reviews and good publicity.
And is it on sale worldwide?
It has been. I mean, you can get it, as I say, through outlets like Amazon. But I have in the 8 years since I've written it, I've been doing a lot of more research, doing a lot more thinking about Stoker. So I may well do, a greatly expanded, revised edition over the next few years.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. Have you any been temptations to write a sort of a gothic novel yourself?
Well, I have written a novel, which I haven't quite finalised at the moment. It's not really gothic. It has a lot of travel in it, because mm-hmm. I was a diplomat for most of my life. Mm-hmm. So to that extent, it resembles Dracula, but there aren't any vampires there.
Okay. And had you always wanted to be a writer?
Well, funnily enough, that was a question put to me by Frank Delaney back in 1993. He was the man who suggested that I should write the biography of Stoker after the Hearn book came out. And I guess looking back, I did, when I was young, I wrote poetry and so on. And then in my 20s, Foreign Affairs made me editor of a magazine. So that got me into the business of writing and editing and publishing and, I suppose, losing the fear of being published. Mm-hmm. Then in my 30s, I'd been in Japan. I was interested in this guy Hearn, so then that's when I started writing seriously.
And did you get yourself a format to an extent of you were working? So did you work and write, or did you give up work and then write? And when you started,
what happened really was my kids were born when I was in my 30s, and that meant getting up early in the morning. Because they were very badly behaved children, so my wife did most of the night work, and then I'd get up at dawn to give her a bit of a rest. And I got into the habit of getting up at dawn, and so that was my working method. I'd get up at about 6, do 2 hours before the rest of the world was awake.
Okay, just as you're speaking there and telling me about that, I'm just thinking of dawn. That's when Dracula would go to bed and you'd be getting up. So
it's funny. I had this duality. I mean, like Stoker again, had a day job as a theatre manager and a civil servant. I had a day job as a civil servant and also, writing in my spare time. But there is also a kind of Dracula pattern there. Being up in the wee small hours when everybody else is asleep.
You can blame the kids for that.
I can thank them at this stage.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much for coming on. And anything do you have coming out in the future, don't hesitate to give us a call. It's been a great pleasure, because I'd like to talk to you more about your career as well and
sure.
About the way that you work when you are writing. But unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Listen, Paul, happy to do that any time, Noel. Thank you.
Okay, I'll get Sandra to give you a call. Thank you very much, Paul.
All the best. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. And that's Paul Murray, and he's a biographer of Bram Stoker, and is available there, as he said, on Amazon.